The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We turn our attention back to that story mentioned in the news headlines of these planned asylum reforms or asylum process reforms in this country. The Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, got Cabinet approval for changes in this area today. He is with me now. Minister, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Can you talk us through the proposed changes that went to Cabinet?
Yeah, thanks, Kieran. I got approval from government this morning to draft a new asylum law. And I suppose the reason for it is that present our asylum laws, they're not working, they're not fit for purpose, they take too long, and because of that, the whole process is too costly. So the central purpose of the legislation I'm introducing is to speed up the process. And under it, there'll be a requirement that the processing of any application for asylum, the determination of that application, and indeed the appeal of the application from first instance, all those processes must be concluded within a period of 3 months if you're applying under what's referred to as the asylum border procedure. But if it's a standard procedure, 6 months. But most of the applications are going to come in under the asylum border procedure, Kieran. So the likelihood and the requirement will be that applications for asylum have to be fully determined within a period of 3 months.
And how will we ensure that?
Well, the first way we're going to do it is we're going to continue with what we have been doing over the past while, which is increasing the amount of resources which are available at first instance in terms of the International Protection Office. Already this year, the IPO has completed about 5,000 applications. So the increase in resources there is having an impact. As well as that, there's the appeal process. We're going to improve and increase resources there. But as well as that, one of the provisions I'm putting into the new bill is that you will not have the general entitlement to an oral hearing in respect of an appeal from the first instance decision. Obviously, at first instance, when you're applying for asylum, it's all done by way of oral hearing. You set out your narrative. It's listened to. It's recorded. A transcript is produced. But when it gets to an appeal process under the new law that I'll be introducing, you won't be automatically entitled to an oral hearing, and that'll speed it up.
Does that infringe on people's legal rights, rights around access to law?
No, it doesn't. And that's obviously something I've been very careful to get advice in respect of. Obviously, an oral hearing is important at first instance, and an individual has to be given the opportunity to put forward their narrative at first instance. But there's no requirement for, in every case, there to be an oral hearing at the appeal stage. What's happening at present is we're getting through the asylum applications relatively promptly at first instance. But when it goes to the appeal stage, it is becoming much lengthier, and the process is takes much lengthier periods of time. So listen, I've got an obligation to ensure that the 3 month or the 6 month period is complied with, and in order to achieve that, I've got to make decisions in respect of the appeal process, and one of the areas I'm looking at is the oral hearing.
So will asylum applicants though still be able to legally challenge the outcome of that appeal?
They will. Obviously, judicial review will remain available. And that's something I suppose I need to look at in due course in terms of the judicial review process. But the asylum process in terms of the first instance decision, the appeal decision, that has to take place within, as I said to you previously, 3 months. Individuals.
But the net effect might not be huge difference from what we see today if applicants go down the JR route.
I think it will. If you look at what's happening today, the process in terms of the initial application and the appeal application, like, it can take a very lengthy period of time, up to 3 years, for that first instance and appeal process to take place. I also think when...
But what percentage of people who are turned down on appeal continue to legally challenge it?
Well, I don't have the percentage, but certainly it is the case that it is a litigious area and people do seek judicial review. But like, a judicial review is not an appeal of the decision.
No, but it's lengthy. I guess what I'm saying is the idea that we're kind of shrinking this down to 3 months, as some headlines today would suggest. What we're shrinking down is the initial stage in what's a long, long process often to 3 months. Well, but a lot of the longer parts of it will remain in situ.
No. I think the change that's been announced today in terms of the first two processes, the first instance and the appeal process. That concluding within 3 months will be a complete game changer in terms of the asylum process. Obviously, individuals may then seek to bring a judicial review application, like that we will be looking in terms of civil justice reforms, in terms of what needs to be done in order to expedite judicial review. But judicial review is not an appeal. You have to be able to identify a flaw in the decision-making process. And I believe if we put in place the appropriate procedures and the efficiencies, that there will not be the extent of deficiencies in the system that have been identified by judicial review.
Can I ask then about this target, the 3 month or the 6 month target, depending on which process you find yourself in? And as you say, the majority would find themselves in this 3 month border process. I guess the question I'm going to ask is, why should people put any faith into that target? You know, we've got house building targets, we don't hit them. We've got climate targets, we don't hit them. We've got targets about, you know, providing services to children with additional needs. We don't hit those targets. The Disability Act is 20 years old. We've never hit the targets in it. I mean, it's easy to put into legislation, we're going to have a 3 month target. How can people have any faith that will actually be met?
Well, unlike the other things you mentioned, this isn't simply a target. It'll be a legal requirement within our law. And it'll be a law that is going to be applied throughout the European Union. So this idea.
But what happens if it doesn't work? I know it's easy to say, like, it's a legal requirement. The latest Climate Action Bill includes legal requirements to hit those targets, and we still didn't hit them. We were told when that bill was passed and it became an act, we were told, well, no, this is now a legal requirement of the government, so we don't worry, we will hit those targets. Lo and behold, we blew straight past them. Mm-hmm. And if asylum applications tick up, they're down massively, but if they tick up again next year, let's say there's some turmoil in another part of the world, in North Africa or in the Middle East, closer to home, and we see a huge uptick in asylum applications here, how are we going to ensure that those 3 month targets are hit?
Well, you call them targets. I'm emphasising that they are legal requirements. You talk about the fact that there's the climate action legislation requires targets. These are targets and rules that will be put in legislation that will be achievable if we put the resources into the first instance decision and to the appeal decision. So I differ them from the previous examples you've given.
Fair enough. Also, listen, we could litigate that all day long, but the point is about resources, isn't it?
It is about resources, and there's a commitment from government to provide those resources. Because if you think of it, one of the reasons why the asylum process is such a costly process is because of the requirement, the legal requirement, that we have to provide accommodation to applicants during the period of the process. And like, if you look at it in terms of somebody who's in the process for, say, 29 months, the cost of that just for the accommodation is approximately €122,000. If we can get that down to 9 months, or even shorter than that, you're talking at less than €50,000. So the savings, the financial savings here will arise in terms of the accommodation side. And that justifies, and my colleagues in government recognise this, that justifies investing increased resources into the first instance process and the appeal process.
So when we're looking at those, or when you and your advisors or people in the department are looking at what resources to allocate to the justice system to ensure that these legal requirements are met, these rules are adhered to, What figures are you going to base those resources on? Because again, you know, those asylum numbers, they can fluctuate quite quickly.
Yeah, well, the figure is, like, let's look at what we've done in the IPO, the first instance body at present. As I said to you, they have completed 5,000 applications already this year in a period of, say, 4 months. So that is a very speedy process. The reason why that has happened is because of the increased resources that have been put in, the efficiencies that have been achieved down there in terms of digitalising the whole process, and the prompt decisions that have been made by the officials making decisions.
And the 40% drop in people seeking asylum.
Well, sorry, 5,000 decisions completed this year is irrelevant in terms of the numbers that have made applications this year. Like, a lot of these are historic applications. We're now in the case where the first instance, in the first 4 months of the year, they made 5,000 determinations. That's good efficiency. And like, if that works throughout the year, we're talking about probably in the region of over 15,000 up to 18,000 determinations in this year. So we can see, irrespective of, and you're absolutely correct, the fluctuating arrival of individuals in, we can see that if you invest resources, you get quick decisions. And quick decisions aren't just a benefit to the exchequer, they're also fairer for the individuals who are making the application. It's not fair for people to have to stay around for a period of years to have a determination on whether or not they're entitled to asylum or not.
The state has been kind of grappling with this issue to varying degrees over the last, well, it kind of 20 years almost. You know, certainly when you look back to the establishment of direct provision as a system. Why wasn't it done before now, if it's so simple?
Well, in fairness, it's not just the state that has been grappling with this. Many countries around Europe and indeed the world are grappling with the issue of migration. It's very
I know, absolutely, and I'm not suggesting it's only an Irish problem. I guess the question was more around the length of time is something that we've been talking about, the length of time it takes for all of this to happen. Well, and even during periods when you know, the numbers of people migrating to this country were relatively low. There was still quite a drawn-out process that people would have been critical of. And I just wonder why nothing was ever done about it, if it's this simple.
My own analysis of it, Kieran, is that, say, before, back in the last decade, when you had approximately 2,500, 3,000 people claiming asylum each year, that it was manageable and the delays in the system didn't lead to any particular downsides or disadvantages. Last year, 18,500 people applied for international protection. The 2 years before was 13,500. The increased numbers make it incumbent upon us to introduce much greater efficiencies. Mm. It is not fair on people who come here and apply for asylum that they're going to have to wait around for a period of years. It's also not fair on the exchequer that we're spending so much money on accommodation. We need to expedite this process. People need a quicker decision. People need, if they come in and they make their application and they succeed, they're perfectly entitled to stay. If they come in, they make their application and they fail, they have to leave.
When will all of this become reality?
Well, it is becoming reality at present because, as I've said to you already and down in the first instance decision area, we are making decisions on that expedited basis. So what I'm seeking to achieve is I'm not just waiting for the law to be enacted next year. I want to get the IPO and the appeal process up and running at a very efficient and expedited way so that when the law is introduced, there's not going to be too much difference between what's happening under the new law and what's happening now. So the new law is going to be enacted next year, but in advance of that, the processes which are set out in the new law are being implemented.
And what would you say then, it's a final question on this issue, but what would you say to people who would suggest that the rhetoric from government and this kind of toughening stance on migration is a case of the anti-migrant tail wagging the government dog?
Well, I disagree with that. Like, I've only been in government for a number of months, and I don't believe that the attitudes of my colleagues in government who were there in the previous government has changed that much. This is not to do with what people are saying outside. This is a recognition of our obligations under EU law. It's also a recognition of the fact that if we're going to have a statutory process in place that is determining an application, it's simply unfair if that process doesn't function in a quick fashion. We've got to have determinations, appeals and outcomes dealt with much faster than was the case before.
Listen, before I let you go, the GRA, the Garda Representative Association, their conference in Killarney, you're not going to be at. They haven't invited Drew Harris, the commissioner, much like your predecessor, Helen McEntee. It means you're not going. The GRA, for what it's worth, say you're missing an opportunity to engage with Gardaí and hear their concerns. Do you disagree? Well,
I've met the GRA before. Happy to meet the GRA.
You're well versed in their concerns.
Well, absolutely. And I listen very closely to them. Listen, my own view is that the commissioner is retiring in the summertime. I would have thought we should have all let bygones be bygones and the commissioner should have invited and I would have gone there. But in circumstances where the commissioner hadn't been invited and out of respect to the office, I would have thought it was inappropriate for a Minister for Justice to go.
Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan, thank you very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.